welcome you into the studio. I'm Dave Spadaro here at the NovaCare Complex, along with, from the MMQB.com, SportsIllustrated.com, Sports Illustrated, the place to be for your daily coverage in the NFL. We welcome in Peter King, and he's here today, day one of training camp. Peter, I don't know what you glean from these first days of practice without pads, but why don't you please share?
Well, I mean, Dave, the biggest thing that I saw, you know, you try to look for what's going to happen without, not without LeSean McCoy, but what's going to happen without DeSean Jackson, and what does it mean for LeSean McCoy? Because I think that is a guy who's going to benefit greatly, not only without DeSean Jackson, but also with Darren Sproles. And I think Chip Kelly's going to take a multifaceted approach to replacing DeSean Jackson. You're not going to have, you know, sort of the game-breaking downfield speed that you had. But what you are going to do is you're going to have a Chris Collinsworth-type receiver in the middle of the field in Jordan Matthews once he gets up to speed. And you're going to have Sproles, who I think reports of his demise have been greatly exaggerated. He would be on the New Orleans Saints today, absolutely categorically, if the contract wasn't an issue. They just couldn't afford him. They had to pay all these other guys. So, you know, to me, I look at importing those two guys, Matthews and Sproles, and then I look at year two of Zach Ertz. What a tight end core this could be, really. Especially because I think the forgotten guy is James Casey. And I think James Casey is such a versatile player that in Chip Kelly's offense, I'm just waiting for James Casey, Brad Smith, and Darren Sproles to be basically Burt Campanaris, you know, line up at all nine positions right on the field. So I think the Eagles are going to be so much fun to watch.
Last year when we talked to you, it was, and everybody who came in, it was, oh, Chip Kelly, can he make the transition from college? What did he show you year one?
Well, first of all, Chip Kelly has a really good coaching staff. And two-thirds of those guys, nobody knows. You know, Chip knew. And I think the one thing is that he understood. Down the stretch last year, I said to somebody that he reminds me in the second half of year one of the impact that Jimmy Johnson had in year two with the Cowboys. Because remember when Jimmy Johnson came in 25 years ago, he came into the Dallas Cowboys and everybody said, wait a minute, what about all these small, fast guys? You can't win without size in the NFL. Well, Jimmy Johnson proved basically you can win with a bunch of smaller guys. At one point, he had the smallest defense in the NFL and the lightest defense, and he won. He built a dominating defense. And I think Chip Kelly, by saying to the football establishment, hey, I respect everybody, but, you know, we're going to play in a little bit of a different way. We're going to play very fast, and we're going to try to do things the way. There's no reason. Football's football. The way we played at Oregon, there's no reason why we can't win that way here. And by December, he was proving it.
You meet every coach, and I don't like to use the term, but I'm going to with you because I know you'll use it the right way. Football genius. Is Chip a football genius?
Chip Kelly reminds me of a guy who, let's say you've had an established business and your business is successful. Let's say you're the Ford Motor Company. And all of a sudden, one day, you decide, you know, we've gotten a little stale and we're going to go to Honda and we're going to hire the product development guy at Honda or a gal at Honda. And they came in. And the first thing that that person does when he or she comes in is examines your business and makes some observations. And Chip Kelly, I think, basically came into the NFL and didn't really care how other people did it. He said, you know, the way we've done it works. And he looked at a bunch of things. And, you know, I was talking to him when I was here. And one of the things he said is, you know, does anybody sort of look at draft hype and how sort of bad that is for business? First of all, you're pushing the draft back, you know, to try to get more hype. You're drafting guys, and then immediately they're looked at as saviors. And that's not conducive to a guy coming in right away and helping you. Imagine the amount of pressure that a guy has on him right away. And I just think he says a bunch of things that I say, I've been covering the league so long, I never even think of things like that. But it's valuable to do that and to be introspective about trying to make your team better. And I just like his approach. He's a very intelligent man who happens to be a football coach.
Is the rest of the league, I know they've spent all this time in the offseason trying to figure it out here. So it's a dog chases the tail kind of thing, I guess.
I think first of all, I think that the three teams in the NFC East have looked at Kelly, and especially the speed of how he likes to play on offense, which I think that they're better off. It sounds funny. I think they're better off with Nick Foles than Mike Vick, because I think that Foles is ready to play faster. Not with his feet, but at the line of scrimmage. He's just ready to play faster. But this, in that same way, Dave, my belief is that he has gone to school on Jim Haslett. He's gone to school a little bit on Perry Fuel, you know, with the Giants. And he's obviously, he looks at the Cowboys a lot too, I'm sure. But I think that as much as everybody else has looked at him, he spent a lot of time in the offseason looking at his opponents too.
Last thing, you mentioned Nick Foles. A lot of talk about Nick, and is he a franchise quarterback? Is he the long-term quarterback? Where does he rank in the NFL? Your opinion of number nine?
I think it's the confluence of being with a really good coach, being with a good coaching staff, having tremendous weaponry even without DeSean Jackson, who I think they'll miss but learn to live without well. And I think one of the things about Foles is that the way he meshes with Chip Kelly is that he's really disappointed if the day goes by and he hasn't gotten better in some minuscule way, which is just the way Chip Kelly is. And I think they're really good for each other. Is he going to be great over the long term? We'll see, because people are going to be throwing stuff at him this year. I think that, I think Jason Pierre-Paul coming back to the Giants healthy, that's going to be a challenge. I think some of the things that Haslett has done in Washington, and them getting Trent Murphy in the draft, who I think is going to be really good. I don't know how much he'll play this year, but he's going to be good long term. And clearly, the Cowboys have got to figure something out. I think they could be awful on defense. But I think that Foles, in time, is going to be somewhere between a good and very good quarterback, because he's an accurate passer. He has very little ego, doesn't want it to be about him, and I think he's going to work well. I think if you're a quarterback who's competent and you go to play for Nick Foles or you go to play for Chip Kelly, you can be somewhere between very good and top 10, and I think that's where he's going to end up being.
Peter King, the NMQB.com, thank you so much
All right, Dave.
For joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.